The writer Robert Graves famously observed, "There's no money in poetry. But then there's no poetry in money either." Don't tell that to Wall Street hedge fund analyst Katie Lederer. Her latest book of poetry, The Heaven-Sent Leaf, is just that, poems about money. Lederer told Anne Strainchamps how her disparate worlds of poetry and money finally met.
After 9/11, I'd been teaching poetry, and I think the enrollment for the poetry class was like 9/12, and no one enrolled, and I just didn't have any savings, I didn't have any benefits, I was kind of a starving poet type. And I felt very, you know, insecure. I felt sort of like, what am I doing? I'm almost 30. And so I took this job at this hedge fund. So I worked there for about 6 years and was studying for the Series 7, which is a trading license. And it licenses you to trade as a member of the National Association of Securities Dealers, the NASD, they call it, or NASD. So I was studying this, and it's literally an 800-page study book, which is sort of like a driver's license manual as far as the interestingness of the content. So, you know, I felt kind of spiritually crushed. It was very dry. And I actually got into the writer's colony, Yaddo, around the same time. So I was studying for this license while I was in this writing community, and I started writing the poems then. So,
well, I could imagine for a poet, this would be wonderful kind of grist for the mill in a way, because money is an imaginative construct in part, in the same way that a poem is an imaginative construct.
Money's worth more, but yeah, usually any imaginative version of money is worth more than any version of a real poem. But
the title of your book sort of refers to that, doesn't it? At first I thought, the heaven-sent leaf, what does that have to do with money? But the back page in the book kind of explains where the title is from.
Yeah, it basically comes from the second half of Goethe's Faust, which is a wonderful book and just wonderfully written, but sort of to make a long story short, because it's a little more complicated and dramatic. But basically what happens is Mephistopheles happens upon this emperor is having economic problems. And he basically says something like, there's all this gold under the ground that people haven't found yet, but it belongs to you and your kingdom. So why don't you write these little IOUs, or basically money, paper money, that's like, you know, this is worth X amount of money. And even if I don't have it, the gold right now, it's in the kingdom. Immediately, everyone is trading these pieces of paper as if they're real. And then things sort of fall apart and it's a bubble and it bursts.
Would you read the title poem?
Sure. So this is called The Heaven-Sent Leaf. The speculation of contemporary life, the teeming green of utterance, to feel this clean, this dream eclat, there is in the heart the hard rendering profit, as if we were plucking the leaves from the trees. Let us think of the soft verdure, of the spirit of this age, as now inside of us and swollen by spring rain, to imagine oneself as a river, to imagine oneself as a stretch of cool water pouring into a basin or brain. And if one knows one is not free, one crawls from the back of the head to the river and places one's pinky, oh, so cautiously in.
So what were you thinking when you wrote that?
I was actually, while I was reading, I was thinking it's sort of a, I think there's this very subtle or small allusion to Prufrock by Eliot and kind of this figure of a modern person, sort of modern man as coward. I think with that last image of the pinky.
Putting the pinky cautiously
the pinky in. And, you know, some of the themes in the book that come out of this centralized finance theme are like themes of love, desire, loss, euphoria, depression. I mean, all of these things sort of tie into some of the metaphors that circle around money. So I think it was maybe unlike some poems that start off books, instead of being like, hi, you know, here I am, I'm the poet, it was kind of like, I'm more like this Eliot figure, kind of modern, maybe poet, woman as finance worker.
That's a poem that's, it's so full of beautiful nature imagery. And I think I read somewhere in an interview you did when you were talking about the work you were doing on this book, you described the poems as pastoral in some ways. And there is a lot of nature imagery throughout. I guess we usually think of money in the world of commerce as the exact antithesis of the natural world.
I think, you know, the where I worked at this hedge fund was right in the middle of Times Square, and it was on the 40th floor. And it's that kind of beautiful vista where it's high enough above the city that it becomes pastoral. You see, you know, in the morning I would come in and you'd see fog clearing or clouds drifting by. You could see it, you know, if you looked carefully sometimes or looked hard, rivers, you know, on either side. And I think also another sort of subtle theme in the book is this kind of social Darwinism, or the fact that, you know, Darwin sort of put it into our minds that we're part of the animal kingdom too. And Midtown is kind of the sort of almost an idealized version of that, right?
Shark eat shark.
Yeah, so I would kind of, it was the jungle. It's a jungle out there. So I would kind of look around and have these thoughts about the animal kingdom and the beauty of Midtown and how there is still this nature. There's the sky and the air.
And, you know. And I was also wondering whether, you know, do you as a poet, when, mm-hmm. did mm-hmm. you find mm-hmm. beauty in the financial world when mm-hmm. you were working there?
Sure. I mean, sure. In the same way Edith Wharton found beauty in, like, society. I mean, that's not an art form per se, but she sort of found beauty in the machinations of society. People, or, you know, Henry James can find beauty in the machinations of, you know, again, society people, really. But I found that kind of beauty, like mm-hmm. a sort of Edith Wharton, human beings, or a Faust kind of beauty, kind of human beings trying to act rationally, perhaps in an irrational world. It can sometimes become absurd. It can sometimes become tragic. There are, you know, great highs and lows, and people's lives are, and fortunes are made, and some are lost. And it was beautiful that way, for sure. But it moves very slowly. I mean, it's mostly people sitting at a computer, and, you know, every once in a while something happens. And,
right. Yeah. There's another poem I was going to ask you to read. It's The Tender Wish to Buy the World.
Sure.
I love that one.
Yeah. The tender wish to buy this world. The shedding of leaves from the wallet of morning. Down low by the bridge in this city of money, I will take up this axe, shatter gently this greed. We are thinking of our heartfelt need, our man, his brain dreaming atop the clean pillow. In the wallet of his soul, he files the crisp new bills of mourning, this old depression when the world will stretch a field of deep ravines. Oh, pale pill, oh, obsequious friend to the needy and nixed, to the novitiates who play this miss and sen, oh, smotherer, oh, plowshare, oh, savior and deranger of the senses.
Katie Lederer's book of poetry is called The Heaven-Sent Leaf, and Strange Champ spoke with her.